Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
World Central Kitchen is serving thousands of fresh meals to Ukrainian families fleeing home, as well as people remaining in the country. This week on Let's Talk About Food, host Louisa Kasdan spoke with Henry Patterson about his upcoming relief trip.
So you're going to Poland, and I think you told me you're going to be there for at least 2 weeks.
I'm going to Poland to help feed Ukrainian refugees. With Jose Andreas's World Central Kitchen, I decided that's what I wanted to do for my 70th birthday. I leave in just a few days. We all see that what the Russians are doing is contemptible. As a food person, we all love to help. It's in our DNA. And here are people who really need our help. So if you want to help the Ukrainian refugees, either with money or even your hands and heart, find hashtag Chefs for Ukraine and World Central Kitchen. We have to do something. We can help. Remember, hashtag Chefs for Ukraine.
Welcome to HRN on Tour at South by Southwest 2022. I am Christine Sykes-Lowe, and today I am joined by Daryl McDaniels, or DMC as most of the world knows him. One third of the groundbreaking rap group Run DMC. He quickly became the most popular in terms of fans, and it would be hard to overstate his influence on popular culture. Simply put, he helped transform rap and hip hop into the most popular music in the world while building a fan base that rivals the biggest acts in rock and roll. And I also welcome George Howard. Hi, George. Nice
Hi,
to have
great
you with us.
Great to be here. Thank you. Honored to be here.
George is a distinguished music professor at Berklee College of Music and an arts advisor to blockchain company Algorand. George was named one of America's greatest disruptors by Newsweek for his work in artist advocacy. That's a pretty big, cool title there. All because of you, huh?
And it's close to home for him because he's a musician himself.
Yeah, I'm a guitar player.
So he's a guitar player.
You're a guitar player.
Yes, don't be so humble.
Well, no, it's not humility. It's just that as a young guitar player in whatever year in Philadelphia, hearing this genius's music exploded my brain and led me to want to just keep exploring these new pathways around technology. But what he did was revolutionize not just music, but technology, ways of thought, and I think that's what aligns us. This is much bigger than just music. It's about, please. You
know. All right.
Absolutely. So the whole reason you're here, so I'm gonna confess to you, I have a son who's an engineering student at Virginia Tech, and I said, son, can you please explain the whole blockchain, you know, everything about it to me? And of course, like a college student, he didn't get back in touch with me, so I need you to explain it to me.
I'll do it real quick, right?
Okay.
Without going too deep into the technology.
Okay.
Blockchain is a way for creators to be given credit for their creations forever, right?
Okay.
Historically, when records are kept, whether it's in a database in the Library of Congress or by some record label, those have a tendency to get distorted, shall we say, over time. Blockchain, when you put a record onto a blockchain, it's there forever. It's permanent. Also, most databases are owned by a company or an institution. Blockchain is what's known as decentralized, kind of like the internet. So there's no, like when MySpace went down, all of the elements that were on MySpace kind of went down with it. That can't happen with blockchain because it's run across lots and lots of different computers that are known as nodes, right? And then the last thing is, blockchain allows for you not just to put your assets onto it, but to create rules around it. So when we do the song that owns itself, DMC can say, well, I only want this song licensed by this type of person and with at this type of rate and make it fair and equitable. And then because there's software right on the asset, it can do that without record companies or labels or any of these intermediaries that tend to take the profits out of it. Now, importantly, Algorand is a blockchain. You probably heard about this. Some blockchains do have a bad kind of environmental impact because there's a lot of computational processing power. With Algorand, that doesn't exist. It's actually a carbon negative blockchain. But so that's as quick as I can put blockchain.
Well, I mean, there is no simple elevator, Stevie. I think
well,
that
was
is,
as good as
yeah,
I can get.
Yeah, no, that was elevator. Amazing.
That was really
that
amazing.
That was amazing.
We
because
care about the environment. We care about the people. We care about the artists. We care about the creation. And we care about the community of people involved with it. Everybody is involved and has a part and can be part of the experience of the creation.
That's amazing.
Starting in a song is a great example to start.
Yes, and you know, here at South by Southwest, you're here to unveil something pretty exciting and revolutionary, like you said, for the music industry, artists, and fans alike. So tell our listeners about the shared launch today, because there's lots of players. Song that owns itself, Stoey.org, your media company, aptly named DMC, Decentralized Media Company, and Algorand. Can you expand more on each of these entities and how they intertwine?
Well, we're just starting with some production, some products and everything. The one creation has so many elements. The one creation involves more than just for what it was produced for. So what we're doing here, we're combining, collaborating, and collectively participating in all of the areas that the particular creative creation can touch. You know, usually a song is just a song, and like George just said, the music business gets involved with it, and it doesn't get or go where it's supposed to go. So we have a big purpose, and I have this saying, music succeeds where politics and religion fails. I could even take it further. The art succeeds where politics and religion fail. An example of what we're trying to do, the quick example, because George is really good at what he does to explain it, I could give it to you like this. When Steven Tyler took that mic stand and knocked down the walls that were separating us in the Walk This Way video, it knocked down the wall of racism. Black people and white people came together. Hip-hop and rock and roll came together. Styles, mindsets, cultures came together.
It's unifying.
It's very unifying.
Yeah.
And that is the purpose of all creations, to unify, to connect, and also for the listener, the viewer, the creator, the person that talks about it, it's a perfect scenario for everyone to evolve. It's about everybody getting better. I've been in the music business for 40 years. On both sides. You know, when I go to speak at high schools and middle schools, the kids are blown away that I'm not just hip-hop, I'm rock and roll. So my creations from day one were always unifying. So now I'm at a point where over the years, I mean, what he's done for music, being part of music, what he's done with his companies and music, we always see the problems. And this is something he talks about in his book, Everything in the Right Place. We always see these problems from year to year to year, and then we speculate and then we imagine the possible solutions. Now, I'm in a perfect position because he has something that will allow all of us, not just me as an artist with the problems that were major headaches in the music business, but connecting with our audience, have the audience involved so that we can help grow their vision. We can now solve all the problems because this enables us to really start being, not just doing, we can be the solution.
It's experiential. It's experiential on every level.
And that's key, the experience.
Yes, absolutely. So how did you get involved in this project? And talk about your book a little bit.
Well, thank you. I'd like to echo, before I dive into that, what DMC said. This is a collaborative moment, right? And you probably heard terms like Web3 and Metaverse. And at their ethos, and blockchain too, is the idea that you should be able to communicate based on your work, right? Not based on what college you went to, what gender you are, what race you are. And this is, it's very participatory. And that differentiates it from Web 1, which was kind of, hey, let's take offline companies and put them online. Web 2, which is, hey, let's take all of the customers' photos and songs and build massive companies that leave them out of the equation. This is about ownership and collaboration at the creation layer, which is what he's always been about. For me personally, how did I get involved? I've been a technologist all my life. I've run large record companies that were, I'd like to think, innovative, the first CD-only label, first label that had a website. Then I built a company that helps artists get their music up onto iTunes, etc., without a label. So my purpose in life is helping artists create sustainable careers on their own terms. I discovered blockchain when I read the white paper about Bitcoin, because Bitcoin needs a blockchain to keep track of things, right? And I was much more interested in blockchain than Bitcoin because I saw it as a way to really help artists, to allow them to identify their fans and transact with them directly. And so, yes, I wrote a book called Everything in Its Right Place that is really a collection of interviews that I've done with artists, just to exactly what DMC says about, we see the problems, like from boots on the ground. And where once you get to kind of a certain level, when you're running record companies, you lose the kind of connection to the actual creators. And we believe the creators have to have a seat at the table. No more can we build technologies for artists without artists being part of that process. So when I joined up with Algorand, I went to the founder and I said that exact same thing. And he said, I agree, my first call, this guy, right? If there's anyone who can architect the next layer of the music industry, because he's innovated throughout, the technology should be transparent behind the scenes. No one should ever say the word blockchain. It should just accrue benefits right. to these right. creators. Right. That's my job, not to promote blockchain, to do more for art. Art is an empathy machine.
Right.
It's the I love that. It's the King of Rock thing in the forefront.
Right.
This is what we call a King of Rock thing. One of the coolest things on the blockchain. On the microphone right is how I get coin. Oh. We're going to make this bigger than Bitcoin. Oh, yeah. That just came to me. Whoa. I'm putting that in the record. Whoa. I'm putting that on the song. You got to play the guitar riff.
Or I'm down.
I got to remember that. If I forget, I got to call them back and say it's okay.
I'll send it to you.
Not because when you was explaining that, we are the thing.
We are
the thing. And you know, it's funny when George was saying that, there were so many meetings about my creation that I wasn't involved in.
Right.
I remember the first meeting, trying to get signed, then you have talks about when the record's coming out and all of that.
And it's a birth from your brain. I mean,
George, this is crazy. I probably only had 20 meetings about my thing when they had, and they still having meetings about it. But all of that changes now, and everybody's involved. And one of the things that when George approached me, everything's transparent. It's all right there. Nobody has to chase. I don't got to chase the label. My beat maker ain't got to chase me. Everything is right there. And transparency is just honesty and fairness.
So we had a little impromptu riff right there, but how
I got to remember those words.
I know, you really did.
King of Rock thing, blockchain, Bitcoin, Gitcoin.
I'll send it back. We'll send it back.
We're going to make that a record.
I know we are.
We're going to make that a record. That's crazy.
So you're performing tonight, and I can't wait to see you. Often do you get to perform? Do you?
Well, let me change that. 95% of what when I'm not performing or doing a concert, or I'm not at a Comic Con, I go to schools and I speak to high schools, middle schools, and January 4th, I just put out a children's book called Daryl's Dream, speaking to the kids. But, and this is the significance of what I'm doing with Algorand and George.
You have a foundation.
Yeah.
You have
everywhere, with the feeling, everywhere I go, everything that I do, I get to perform. So if it's the comic book, if it's my music, if it's the kids' book, if it's the founder, if it's Adidas, if it's... I get to perform. So performing is part of my life.
Naturally.
So it's part of my life. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Connected. The one little song is connected to so many other things. But I would say I probably do whoa, I'm probably doing 5 or 6 shows a month.
That's pretty busy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's even wrong. I mean, Jam Master Jay passed away. When Run DMC was touring, the only times we wasn't home was, we said, we got to be home Christmas. We'll perform on Thanksgiving, so Thanksgiving, but for me now, it's fashion, it's mental health. I put a book out, so I'm performing a lot. And the funny joke is, people love working with me. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not like I'm telling them what to do or they tell me to do. We do what we do together. But I think people only like working with me because anything that I do with anybody, D, can you come perform? And they know I'm going to say yes.
And it sounds like you understand balance, too. You understand the balance, like the mental health and,
For sure,
putting
100%.
All your energies into different areas.
Yeah. I learned that over the 38 years I've been in music. The balance is key, and I think a lot of artists wouldn't have had the difficulties or problems that they went through, you know, some of the ones that ain't even here anymore. So I'm vocal about it, and I don't think I'm Mr. Know-It-All, but I'm doing with George. I'm an example of the possibilities. When it comes to mental health, I say, because I'm a big Nirvana fan.
Who isn't?
When Chris Cornell took his life in Chester from Linkin Park. So I'm sick and tired of the pain and the hurt. I do this for Chester, Chris, and Kurt. Death is appealing, so with death I flirt. I tell the world how I feel, and they say I'm a jerk. I'm not bugging, I'm struggling. All this guzzling is puzzling, so I'ma stop hanging with Jack and Jim, Jack Daniels and Jim Beam, so I can fight in a battle and show that you can win. So
yeah.
I'm just an example, whether it's music, whether it's tech, whether it's mental health, everything that this King of Rock title put me into, I have a responsibility. And George and Algorand and everything that we're doing is allowing me to utilize and have an effect with that responsibility.
I love that. I love every bit of that. Well, I really appreciate your time. I do have to ask you one question. We're a Heritage Radio Network. We're a food and beverage.
Yes.
We focus on food and beverage. We talk about culinary. You launched a wine label.
Yes, I did, which was another collaborative effort. That all came about through my comic book, Daryl Makes Comics.
Okay.
Amy Chu, one of the greatest writers in the history of pop culture. I mean, she's done Red Sonja, she's done Wonder Woman and everything. So when we go to Comic Cons, Amy Chu is all about heritage. When we go to these cities, she's studying the food, she's studying the lifestyle, she's studying the cultures and all of that. So when she writes, she usually goes to a vineyard. So yes, so she went to the vineyard in Jersey, Old York Vineyards, and she was sitting there one day and she noticed that they do collaborations. And just like we was just talking about in this little conversation we have, and she was sitting there and say, who could be influential in bringing wine, food, rock and roll, hip hop, and books and comic books into one place that people think they're just there for the wine.
This guy
right here. So she called me up and said, hey, what do you think about doing? And just like we're going to do with Algorand, there's a charity effort. See, our purpose, which has a greater purpose than just for us, has another purpose because it can serve a purpose to help serve people. So the wine thing was just an idea of how do I do what I did with rock and roll, hip hop, and sneakers with comic books, wine, and food.
And I love all those things.
Yeah, and speaking of the food, one of the things that was so cool about getting us there was at Old York Vineyards, the chef is a bigger rock star than me.
And what's his name?
Pedro, I believe.
And it's Old York Vineyards?
Yeah, Old York Vineyards in Ringgold, New Jersey.
Okay, and where can they find your wine?
You can right now. The wine is only on the Old York website.
Okay.
You could get the single bottle. You could get the double bottle. You could get the triple pack that comes with the cookies because I love cookies.
You like Larry's?
I love Lenny and Larry's cookies. Yes. And my favorite cookies is oatmeal, oatmeal, chocolate chip, and sugar cookies. So that being said, one of the other things we have to talk about, I'm starting a cookie company called Daryl Makes Cookies.
It's all
and
about
it's first
purpose,
here.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but this is this is important. Like, our thesis is purpose, not product, right?
Yes.
So it all of these things interrelate, whether it's wine, cookies, music, comics, it's purpose, not product. But the purpose needs to be bigger than yourself, right?
Absolutely.
And you can also say purpose, not profit, because the profit always comes when you lead with purpose.
Yep.
And that's what this guy's all about. So
yep.
It's all consistent. It can seem really orthogonal with cookies and music. It's purpose, not product.
Exactly. And what's crazy about that, too, is it's funny that we're talking about food and heritage. My first song, and this is great for all the stuff that we're doing, because everything is just we can be sitting here just talking about one thing and all of this coming out.
Collisions.
When Russell first shopped us to every major label, we got turned down. Because, you know, in the beginning, there was always stereotypical and judgment, judge the books by its cover. So in the beginning, you know, most of the hip-hop was message records talking about how messed up everything is. So I'm this kid growing up in Hollis, Queens. I knew even where there's death, darkness, and despair, and destruction, there's goodness and fun and coloring books and cookies and finger painting. So when it was time for me to write my rhymes, remember, my first rhyme was on DMC and the place to be. I go to St. John's University. Since kindergarten, I acquired the knowledge. After 12th grade, I'm going straight to college. I'm light-skinned from Hollis, Queens, and I love eating chicken and collard greens.
Oh, yeah.
And when that hit America, it was like I'm talking about everybody from Jewish people to Muslim people. The fact that I spoke about food. What do you do on times when you come together or festive events? You get around and eat. So it even went further when we did Christmas in Hollis. It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard green, rice and stuffing. But it was the food that let people know, people that eat, listen to music. It was the music that let people know that if you listen to music, we all eat, we all listen to music,
it's
we all
unifier.
Right. I create music, he creates tech, but at the same time, he heard my music and picked up a guitar.
And it blew my mind.
Now he got me. Yo, it's the universal.
And I'll tell you, I've got a son now who's 15, but about 10 years ago, I asked him what his favorite Christmas song was, without missing a beat, "Christmas in Hollis."
That's crazy. You know, so now we're sitting there with Nat King Cole and Bing Crosby and Frosty the Snowman, you know what I'm saying? So that's what's the beautiful thing about it. But, you know, what I was going to say is when I came out, I could only keep it real and talk about what I knew. My glasses and I like eating chicken and collard greens, you know what I'm saying? And that's the icebreaker. That was breaking down the wall before Steven Tyler visually did it in everybody's living room because of MTV across the globe. So the collaboration of products, technology, communication, the visual of it, the oral, we are life. And this day and age that we live in, and I'm thankful I'm here now. If I can pave another way that's just gonna make it better for all of us, then that's one of the best, that's better than any Grammy or any American Music Award. And, you know, hopefully when Daryl Makes Cookies drops, I'm right up there. When they talk about Oreos and Chips Ahoy, they're going to talk about Daryl Makes Cookies.
I'm watching out for it.
Yeah, and what I was going to say, we have a package where we give chocolate and cookies along with the wine.
They go,
you know,
together.
They really go together, yeah.
Exactly. They really do.
Yep. So I'm learning. It's all about the experience.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you both.
Thank you
for taking the time to talk to Heritage Radio Network.
The time.
Yeah.
We all have a lot in common. It's
so
fun.
Do.
That's the beautiful
cool.
thing.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to HRN's coverage of South by Southwest 2022. You can listen to all of our coverage on our podcast, HRN on Tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Katie Mosman Wadler, Executive Director of HRN. HRN is dedicated to amplifying small businesses that keep our communities vibrant. Today, I'm asking business owners to take part in our business membership drive by supporting HRN's mission with a $500 membership. HRN will shine a light on your work, and you'll help sustain our mission to expand the way eaters think about food. As a thank you for this tax-deductible donation, your business will receive on-air mentions, social media posts, listings on our website, and more. You'll also play an essential role in keeping nonprofit food radio on the air. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/biz to become a business member today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/biz. Thank you for your support.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.